Hi, I'm Dave Barnes.
And I'm John McLaughlin.
And welcome to Dadville.
Dadville is a podcast where we talk about life, love, and the pursuit of awesome dadding.
It's funny thoughts and deep talks.
So please, enjoy your time here in Dadville and enjoy this episode with...
Dave and John.
Dave.
John.
Dave. John.
Dave.
Ah, there you are. I really can't stop talking about today's sponsor, Grip 6.
Well, listen, I don't want you to.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
You don't even have to tell me. Okay. I'm equally as obsessed, and I'm using one of their super sleek Grip 6 wallets right now.
I could tell. I could tell by the way you were sitting and the confidence you had.
It's because I'm sitting actually upright. I'm not tipped over anymore.
Sideways. It is the slimmest, most convenient wallet in the world, isn't it?
It's amazing. It felt so good to throw away my chunky, like George Costanza bifold wallet.
Yeah, get that thing
out of here. My Grip 6 wallet is so sleek and futuristic.
Speaking of the future, one, do you think they'll be flying cars? And two,
Absolutely.
Did you know that William Shatner and the Blue Origin team wore one of Grip 6's belts all the way into space?
What?
Yes.
Well, hey, I can believe it. Grip 6 utilizes the utmost quality in their variety of products and guarantees a lifetime warranty on all of them, including belts, wallets, socks, and much more.
And wait, look, is it true that Grip 6 makes everything in the U.S.? Is that
Yes,
true?
You better believe
okay.
it, sir.
Okay.
All of Grip 6 products are sourced from American materials and made right here in the U.S. of A.
Guess what? They even come with Grip 6 lifetime guarantee, whether it's your wallet, belt, or their super comfy wool socks, which you're wearing right now.
I'm wearing right now. I love them.
Grip 6 builds them to last.
All these super useful and utilitarian products would make a great gift for the husbands, dads, and sons of your life.
Annie, or Santa, if you're listening, make sure you've got this one down. Grip 6, that's G-R-I-P number 6, okay?
Visit GRIP6.com today to shop socks, wallets, and much, much more.
Oh, Johnny.
Dave.
Johnny, here we are. We are coming in real hot.
We're coming in cold.
Just kidding.
Because this is the Christmas episode.
Gotcha.
There we go.
Gotcha, everybody. You thought you knew what I was talking about.
We're coming in cold, but it's not cold outside.
No. Yeah, this is
it is a
nippy 68 today in Nashville. It is a scorcher on this beautiful December day. So John, what I want us to do, can I just ask you a favor?
Yeah.
Do you mind if we talk some Christmas?
Please.
Can we chat Christmas for the people? Can we just talk some Christmas? There's a lot of questions and things I don't know about you and your Christmas traditions.
I have so many questions. Mm-hmm. You hold the Christmas cards right to your chest.
Oh, yeah. I do not let you in. I am a tightly sealed envelope present that your grandmother put that masking, the silver tape, the duct tape. And you were just like, Grandma, why have you wrapped this like... You don't like this needs to be discovered in 100 years, still preserved for that generation.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's a pretty universal scenario you just painted.
I literally got, as I talked, I was getting less interested and wildly unfunnier. I was like, we should just start this whole thing over. Where is that analogy going? I don't know where my brain juice is. Okay, so let's come in. I want to start here, though, if it's okay. Let's talk about you and this little Christmas tour you've been doing, huh? Let's do a little check-in. How's that going? How'd the Christmas shows go?
The shows are going great. And I feel like I'm at a point where I think that everyone can relate to this in different ways. We have different ways of getting there, but my body is at that point.
Your body's telling you yes, but your mind is telling you no.
But my mind isn't even paying attention to my body.
It's the story of my life, man.
No, I'm like mentally and physically, I'm just kind of exhausted. But it's kind of a good exhausted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like you earned it.
Yeah, it's like when you're sore after you worked out the day before and you're kind of sore.
You watch like 3 movies in a row on Netflix and you're like, man, I put in a shift and I deserve how knotted up my back is.
Sure.
And that my phone is somehow
20%. Hey, there's no judgment. Just as long as your body is hurting. Yeah.
Oh, were you going the more athletic version of that?
I was, but you know what? I was limiting us. So let's include.
There are people out there that are going to relate a lot more to my analogy than yours.
Right.
Okay. And I want to save a space for them.
No, but I feel that sort of like accomplished, you know, like you, like I've been working.
Fatigue.
Like a good fatigue.
Yeah.
And I've been looking forward to this chat. And so I just wanted to say that I'm excited that we're just
we're just chopping chatting. It up, man. We're just in here chopping it up.
The tour has been great. It's been so, I mean, I know this is gonna sound like hyperbole, but and you already know that I just love playing shows anyway. I just love it.
You love it.
I have loved it more than ever.
Wow.
The first show was
hot as
in
weather
Minneapolis.
Outside right now. You're coming in.
The first show was Minneapolis. I mean, more than a month ago, and I'm sure I've said this before on here, but I am always in the green room backstage before show one of any tour. I am as terrified as I've ever been in my life. It's always the same. Always. I mean, one of the worst was when Matt Wirtz and I did this tour called the Win-Win Tour back in 2018. And we started in San Diego. And I remember being in the green room and Luke, our tour manager, came and said, all right, they just opened the doors. And I remember thinking, like, this is such a mistake. Like, what are we going to do when we get up there? I feel that every single time. So I felt that backstage in Minneapolis. And then as soon as I walked out on stage, I just instantly, hadn't even touched the keys of the piano yet. And I was like, I love this. I just love
it. Isn't that a good lesson? Let's take a little, can we have a global lesson moment real quick?
Yeah.
30,000 foot view. Isn't that a great lesson? And like, just cause you get really nervous about things or you're terrified of things, it doesn't mean one that you shouldn't do them. And maybe even more so that you might not thoroughly enjoy doing the very thing you're terrified of.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's an interesting thing about being a human.
I know. And
we are
terrified
of the very things that bring us joy. Can I pray for a second? Let's wrap it up real quick. Just everybody get in here.
Pastor Mike asked me to bring a word.
Pastor Mike asked me to bring a word, y'all. Listen. No, that's great. I know exactly what you mean.
And I think I've had such a great time.
When I think too that anyone that, because I'm sure you get asked this all the time, like people are like, do you still get nervous? And like, yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, like, yeah. Give me the right scenario, and I'm definitely nervous about before I play. I mean, it's not near as much as it used to be, but I mean, you have the right factors, and yeah, I'm like, ooh, okay, I got the bubble guts.
I'm beyond nervous before that first show, and then it's pretty much gone instantly.
I remember,
and then
you telling
I miss being a little bit nervous. There's a sweet spot of nerves that I kind of like.
When I remember you saying, like, once the first pyrotechnic goes off and you know the show is going,
right,
you're calm as a cucumber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. I've seen that in you.
You've
and
seen
on
it happen
when that
time.
Thing went wrong. Yeah. Once.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've been playing some shows.
I mean, I've been dabbling.
How'd those shows go?
They were great. So fun. This band, I mean, you and I have talked about this. We're kind of doing different things. You're doing a lot of shows, basically just you, and I'm doing very few shows with basically like a family reunion behind me. Because, you know, we have like a massive band, which is so fun. So it's a different, you know, it's really different for me because I'm not nervous only because there's just a million people.
Yeah.
It just feels like it's evenly distributed between a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah.
So the shows have been great. The band is great. I mean, this
you
tour
have
is
a killer band.
Yeah, it's a really, really good band. Every band I take out is good, and this is just another one of an iteration of amazingness, which is going to be the name of my children's book. If you guys will head on over to Iteration.
Just give me a minute, and that'll be up on the store.
Yeah, I got to write it.
Yeah, I have. So on, this would have been last week, a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
I am playing / just played.
Yeah, I love this.
With an orchestra in a band.
Oh, that's
and,
right.
And I'm really looking forward to that show because I'm going to play I can take my hands off
that's right.
the piano.
That's right. That's
pretty
exactly
much whenever
right.
I want.
Yep. Yep.
Which is gonna be so great. Like this band that you're playing with, you can kind of just enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta sing the songs and you're you know,
maybe
entertaining.
I mean,
and
honestly, they're
stuff.
So good. I'm not sure it matters at this point. I think people are like, you can really just take a break if you want to.
Yeah, I take that back, actually.
We're really enjoying Duggar's
you got
guitar part.
Best
we just want to take it to you. We've talked about this, but I liken it to like just, it just feels like you're just strapped to the front of a train, but in like the best way. Like, I'm not worried about like, I got to generate the energy and make the show. It's like, oh man, I could just get to like ride.
Yeah.
So they've been great. And I love these shows. I love the, I love the season. I love singing Christmas music. I think it fits my voice really well. So that, and that's another thing too. My final thought is it's just not vocally taxing. You know what I mean? Like you get done with your, like, I'll say for me, I get done with a lot of my normal shows and I'm like, whew, all right, we did it.
Yeah.
These are like, I don't feel that worn out. It's really nice. You know, just because everything tends to be a little more croonery, a little more baritone. Right. It's, yeah, you're not having to hit those notes, those, you know, kind of like big chorus notes. So
I have a bad habit of writing song. Like when I'm writing a song, it doesn't matter what it is. I'm like, let's see if we can eventually get to the highest note we can possibly sing.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Watch me pivot. Watch me do
it.
Okay.
Do it.
Let's talk traditions, John.
Okay.
Let's talk some. And I want to, can I do this real quick? Mm-hmm. So I did this really fun thing on Instagram this year. I don't know if you guys know about Instagram or have an account, but John and I both are on there, as is the podcast, Dadville Podcast. But I did this really fun thing that my buddy Seth Philpott said I should do, called the 12 Daves of Christmas. And one of the questions, it was a giveaway every day. It was really fun. Although I'm not going to send anybody what they won. That's the kind of like, oh man, they're going to be mad, but you know, it is what it is.
They understand.
Some followers. I did a contest one day about Christmas traditions, and there were some amazing ones.
Oh, really?
Yes. I mean, like some that blew, like I ended up picking, I think, 9, because I was like, I can't pick one of these. Like, there's no way if I put these two together, even if I just got down to these 2 or 3, you're going to be like, no, there's no winner. They're all winners. But it did make me think about like what we're doing, what I grew up doing. Like, was there anything that was consistent? So like, was there, you know, little Johnny Mac growing up in the Mac, you know, the Mac fam, the Mac house, the McLaughlin's are, what do y'all, like, what's the thing you knew every Christmas, we're going to do this? What's the thing?
So we didn't have a lot, but we did have this one tradition that we did every year. And it was like it was my dad's like family friend's house that we never, we never went to this house throughout the year. Like 364 days, we don't go to this house. And then this one night, Christmas Eve night, we always go to this house, the Hutton house.
Yep.
And we would see like their kids, you know, and we play with them, you know, one time a year. And it was just like, that was Christmas. You knew it was Christmas. Like the smell of that house, the like all of it, you know. We would go to the Christmas Eve service, then go to this house for a while. And then I would always, you know, the kids would be like, we got to get home because we don't want to miss Santa, you know.
That was that, it. Did y'all have anything like morning of? Was there anything you were like, you know, you knew this person would wake up and do this thing, and then that was when you were cued to go in and do the...
We would, so the kids, my sister and brother and I would wake up, and my parents, most of the time, were gone.
Oh.
So, you go.
I feel...
No, the only...
Let's stay there. Let's stay there.
Let's run away from that.
Tell
let's
me more about that. Just for the sake of time. Abandonment. Yeah. Let's dive in. I want to hear more about this.
No, we would wake up, and the only rule was we had to make a pot of coffee
before. I love that.
We could make.
And so there was a like, buffer. It wasn't just like a free-for-all.
Right, and I think like 7 a.m. was like, it couldn't be before 7.
Yeah. Which, don't you understand now as a parent? Isn't that hysterical?
100%.
Like at the time, I'd wake up at 2:15. I'm like, 4 more hours.
Oh, yeah.
I gotta wait. And now I'm like, oh, man. Especially when they're really little and they're actually still kind of tired, you're like, oh man, we didn't open presents until like 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they're like really little before it gets turns into like pandemonium.
Right.
But what about now? Do y'all have any, like with the girls, that y'all do? I'll tell you, I selfishly am excited that y'all have pivoted to being more in Nashville. That's a huge moment.
Me too, because one of our traditions is going over to your house.
Yeah, we go.
I mean, Christmas Eve.
We have a really fun tradition that we do with... It's 5 families, right?
I can't remember. Three other families? Yeah.
Yeah, 5 total. And everybody comes over to our place, so the McLaughlins have to do the really long... and it resembles, I would say, it reminds you of the trip that Mary and Joseph took.
Right.
You know, y'all's walk across the street to our place.
You want to quit halfway through, but you keep going.
And
you go the additional 30 feet.
You just push through it. And we're yelling from the porch, come on, come on. No, but we all get there, and then we all have like a big kind of, you know, smorgasbord of food. And then me and John, we go in our piano room, and we lead, John really leads, and I sort of accompany as I best can, because man, some of those carols. And we'll just sing, all of us get in there, kids and everybody, and we sing Christmas carols for like 30 minutes.
It's just a free for all, and it's so great.
It's so much fun. Remember when the kids, like when they were little, they'd bring up the drum set parts, because I had like a random drums, and you'd look over and Ben and Luca would just have like snare drums cranking as loud as they could, and you're like trying to fake smile through, okay, crack, 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 okay, Rudolph, crack, 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 crack. Like, oh, we're having a blast.
I love that tradition. I love it. I mean, you know, we could lose the snare drum. Maybe you just hide that before.
Yeah. I was told that a lot in the bands I was in as a drummer.
Right.
Which is, yeah. Hurts a little to remember, if I'm being honest. Yeah.
Keep it going. But beyond that, we have started, you know, because we're the only ones down here in Nashville. The rest of the fam is in Indiana. So we were doing the tradition where we wake up the next morning, do open presents at the house, then pack the car.
And go.
And drive 6 hours up to Indiana. And we were fine with that. And then just a couple years ago, we were like, you know what? Let's have just Christmas Day, just be here, and then we'll go.
Isn't that interesting? And this is to everybody that's out there listening to that moment where you finally let go, you stick your flag in the ground. We're like, all right, we're not leaving anymore. It is like one of the funniest conversations I have with all my friends where there's that shift from like you know you're going and mom and dad's hosting by coming in, and then you just sort of feel it. It's like 1 year the siblings or one of the siblings like takes the bullet and is like, we're just, y'all got to come here. And then the other siblings like, okay, if they're not coming, we're not coming, you know. And then you have to start doing the dance
and
of
then
like
the house
then the parents just, yeah. And then the parents, like, then they become suddenly, they never do a Christmas at
they
home
panic here. And put a pool in so that we'll all come back
in the front and backyard. They got dual pools. Dualpools.com. When there's just too much fun for one. We actually had a few of them growing up. One of them was we would all sleep in the same room. So me and Beth and Brad would all sleep in the same room. And there's just adorable hysterical videos, you know, like home movies of that still. But we would all sleep in the same room. That was up until last year. And then so we did that growing up. And then we would do a Christmas Eve gift
every year.
That became a bit
the one gift,
like the one that was really that kind of happened like a little later. Maybe I was like, I don't know, 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Those were both really fun. I'll tell you, and you know, it's so funny that you said that. And this is the extrovert in both of us. We would, you know, my dad was a pastor down in Mississippi, and we would kind of do this as best I remember. And they may, mom and dad may correct me, but we would do like a church house Christmas party at our house. Where
on
so
Christmas
like,
Day or Christmas
no,
Eve?
No, like 2-3 weeks out.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
That night for me was like one of the best nights of the year because everybody came to our house. All my friends would come to our house. We'd play basketball. We'd run around the bag, play football. And like, it just was like game on. Like, this was me at my like absolute apex. Was like, everybody's here. There's parties, you know, the music's playing. We're just running around, the kids. That was always kind of like, I remember that being one of the first things that made me feel like, all right, Christmas has arrived. It's go time.
Your dad's shirtless on the table.
Yeah, he would start there, and we would hope he'd get more
then
clothes.
People would finally get there.
Yeah, that was the signal. You'd see people in the yard, and the minute dad's shirt, it was just the door open, and here comes the parishioners, which was actually the same way they started church. Every Sunday. That's why it was such a well-worn path. Right. Wait for it, Jim. Still, nope. He's okay. We're good.
Okay.
And
grab a hymnal.
Grab it. We all know what that means. So then I tell you, in college, this is one of the most fun traditions that I had that was super random. One of my good buddies from high school, a guy named Alan Wallace. A little shout out to A-Dub, fellow Arsenal supporter. Alan, who was a friend of mine in high school. Randomly, when I got to college, like, I don't know how this happened. This is before text, whatever. One Christmas Eve night, we went and looked at lights together to catch up. You know, I was at MTSU. He was at, I think Alan went to UT. He's going to get mad when he listens to this, and I can't remember. He went to Furman. I can't remember
I went to Harvard.
He's like, geez, man. They've got a gymnasium named after me there. But he came and picked me up, and we went and just looked at Christmas lights. And then, like, every year, I think we did it. I'm going to get this wrong too. And he's yelling right now in his, Lexi. I want to say we did it somewhere between like 5 to 7 years. where he would, we would not talk to each other the whole year.
Uh-huh.
The whole year. I would get home for Christmas break, and on Christmas, sometimes on Christmas Eve morning, but a lot of times like the 23rd, hey man, hey, what's up? Seven more? Yeah, that's great. All right, see ya. And we would get, and he'd just show up out of nowhere, just like out of the, you know, out of the clear blue sky. I'd jump in the car with him at 7 p.m. on Christmas Eve, and we'd just drive around Knoxville, and we'd listen to music. Alan's a huge music fan. He turned me on to tons of great music. Like, he was kind of one of, you know what? Props to Alan, because he turned me on to Harry Connick Jr., Outkast, Farside. I mean, all these.
Wow.
I think, yeah, I mean, Alan was kind of my dealer there for a while with music stuff. But anyway,
that's
we would listen to this.
That's a sweet tradition.
It was so fun, but we would listen to great music. I'd hip him to stuff. This is back when I was really getting into music in college. And then we'd listen to a bunch of great Christmas music, and then he'd just drop me off. And we wouldn't talk for 365 days. And then,
so sure when enough, he drops you off, you say, you don't say, all right, man, see you later.
No.
We both know it's going to be,
yeah, it was
kind of
like,
all right,
man, cool, yeah, all right, yeah, cool, fist bump and like, you know. And then sure enough, and it was fun too, because there were like all these iterations. I think my sister went maybe one or a couple years, like a girl that I remember I was like very fond of at the time went with us, Cindy Crawford. I don't know if y'all know who she is, but she's just kind of too into me. So I was like, meh.
Right.
That's a longer story.
She can get kind of clingy.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. But that was one of mine. And I remember it was such a sad moment when I can't remember why we couldn't do it, but it was like, it was a moment, because I think he was either gone with his girlfriend, fiance, you know, it was like somebody was not in Knoxville.
You knew the chapter was closing.
And we needed it. And still, like, he came to my Christmas show in Knoxville, and we were texting the other day. But that's one of my most, I love that memory, because it was just so wonderfully bizarre. Like, didn't make any sense. And yet it was so much fun. John.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, John.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay. Sorry. As a father, I'm wondering if you can relate to this, okay?
Okay.
Do you constantly worry about the well-being of kids, like if they're eating right or getting good grades?
Yes.
And will they be taken care of if something happens to you? Do you think?
Yeah, all those things.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. And I'm sure all the moms and dads out there can agree.
Yeah.
If you have loved ones that rely on you for financial support, whether it's a child or an aging parent, you need life insurance.
Well, that's where today's sponsor, Policy Genius, comes in. Policy Genius makes it so easy to compare quotes from dozens of top insurers all in one place.
You could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius.
In just minutes, you can work out how much coverage you need and compare personalized quotes to find your best life insurance price.
Policy Genius has licensed experts that work for you, not insurance companies. You can trust them to help you navigate every step of the shopping and buying process.
And if you don't trust us, which, ouch, okay, what have we ever done to you? Trust the thousands of 5-star reviews across Google and Trustpilot.
Policy Genius has been around since 2014. They've helped over 30 million people shop for insurance.
Head to policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save.
That's policygenius.com to get the life insurance coverage you need today.
You know, we've been doing this really fun. I think you know this. We go to the Opryland Hotel the week of Christmas, and we'll do a night at the hotel and leave the kids at home, let them figure that out. And it just gives Annie and I a chance to breathe. No, we'll take the whole family.
Right.
We'll stay and do like a, you know, hang, kids run around. We'll get like, you know, we'll get, order a room service, let the kids watch a movie, go to bed, get up the next morning, eat breakfast, kind of walk around the...
Hang on. Speaking of kids, I got some kids banging on the door.
Go discipline them. I hope it's yours. Well, I'm really proud of you. I was ready for all the cursing and the yelling.
Did you hear Libby? She goes, I said, hey, I'm recording a podcast with David. Libby goes, I know. I told her don't do that.
Oh, my gosh. Sure you did, Liv.
Libby listens to the podcast. Look at us.
So. Yeah. Of course. It's the younger ones, man. We're just trying to do, like, you know, we do the morning thing, same as y'all. We kind of like wait till everybody comes down. We get the video with the phones and, but we're trying to kind of build more and more little routines, like fun things we're doing. And honestly, that 12 Dave's contest sparked a lot of things that I was like, oh, we should do that or try that or, you know, just to have some sense of tradition, you know.
Yeah,
because there's some good ones. And listen, if y'all are listening, y'all need to post on this on Instagram and tell us some of y'all's traditions.
Yeah, I want to hear some
amazing ones.
I would love some ideas. Here's the thing though, here's like the other side of traditions.
Okay.
Because I love Amy's family especially is, they're very big on traditions with everything. Like around Christmas time, here's what we do. And Thanksgiving, here's what we do. And I love that. And I love Christmas time so much that when it comes around, you know, the traditions that we do have, it's like I always have a hard time once it's like, okay, we're like, for example, like, all right, we're at the Barnes.
Go.
This is the time. Like, and we're probably only going to be here for
two and
whatever
memories.
Yeah. So like, enjoy it. Enjoy it. You're not enjoying it enough. Like, oh, Livy's crying. Like, oh, okay. I'm going to deal with this with Livy and then she's going to be happy. And then we're going to start enjoying it. Okay. Livy, what's the thing? Girl, stop fighting.
I so relate to that.
You know, and like Luca, like, I hate this turtleneck, you know. And you're like, no, I need to be enjoying this at 1,000%.
Yeah, I know.
Right
I know.
Now.
I tell you what happens most with me is like the whole month, I always cue myself up to be like, here we go. It's December. The lights are getting put on the trees outside, inside. And I just think, I'm just going to walk around at night and just look at and just be so present. And, you know, and then I'm watching some Netflix special on like typewriters and I'm like, what am
I doing?
And it's
December 23rd.
Yeah.
And
I think that's the thing that bothers me, but I'm with you. I sort of get into this, like we have to enjoy these moments. This is the only time of the year we get to do this. So I'm with you. I can feel this undue pressure. I think that's some of why I want like traditions that get stuck in because you know, those are little Ebenezer moments every season to be like, okay, I may have sort of been too busy or had my eye off the ball for most of December, but man, I know those three moments, I was like, okay, here we go. This is it, you know?
I actually don't, maybe this is maybe dumb. I might be the last person on earth to not think of traditions in that way, but that's like I never think of traditions as that, like as a function of like, kind of like settling you down and making sure like,
yeah,
all right,
yeah,
we at least know on this day we're gonna meet here
and do that thing,
do this.
Well, I just, you know how fast my brain works, I have to have those things like my I already feel this way. I mean, you know, we're halfway through the month and I'm already feeling like it's too late. I've already missed the moments to be like, here we go. And obviously touring makes that tricky because, you know, both of us do these Christmas tours.
I know.
So you kind of look up and you're like, ooh. Although I will say, I think some of what's fun is being in other cities and sort of like the Christmas lights and seeing those things. So you can kind of, you know, take it in that way too. But it is tricky.
There's just too much.
Yeah.
For that one month, which really is only like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
For you to like pack it all in. But I do, I last thought on this thing to bring it back to like the touring and really enjoying the shows. And I think I texted you this the other day because you were asking how the tours or the show was going. I feel like I made this breakthrough with the live shows and I'm slowly implementing it into my everyday life, but I'm like making like micro baby steps at getting better at this. But so my new thing when I walk out on stage now, which is a 180 of how I used to be, is like, I'm going to walk out on stage and we'll just see what happens. I mean, like, ooh. I know what songs I'm going to play for the most part. I know, but it's like, don't expect to play that song the way you played it last night. Don't expect your voice to sound like it sounded last night. Don't expect the crowd to clap at that one part.
Yeah.
That they, even though they clapped the last four nights, is maybe Portland won't clap at that. It's fine. And it has, I mean, Dave, it has like changed my little life on stage is so much better now than it used to be. And I'm like, if I could put that into my like everyday life,
oh man,
like in these moments.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's, you know, that's the key, but.
Well, you know, I had a woman at one of the shows come up and she was a little affected by Liquid, and she slowly approached the front
hydrated.
Of the stage. Yeah, yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
But like
athletic
beautiful
green
skin. Yeah, yeah, AG. And she walked up the front of the stage and was like, you know, play LA song. And it was like, I couldn't not do it. Like it wasn't in the set. This is a Christmas show. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. And I did it. And it was the same thing for me because it wasn't in the thing. I was like, And I've been playing it every show since because it was like, man, that was so fun, which is really unlike me because I get, you know, I want to make sure I'm sticking the landing on these things, and there's nothing that's quite as terrifying as, you know, going, do I even remember that song, much less, you know, playing it, you know, out of nowhere. Okay. So, let's talk about the best Christmas gift. I'll give you three. They can be one, but if you're looking at me like, how dare you? I'll give you three, like best Chris. And I mean, we can go way back.
You know what? This is so random. If my brother and sister are listening to this, they're gonna be like, this, I don't even remember that. But I remember when I was, I don't know, 9 years old or something like that. And I think it was from my brother. It might have been from my brother and sister, but I think it was just from my brother. He bought me a Ghostbusters, like figurine.
Uh-huh.
I think the Igor, right? Was that the guy's name? He was like the smart guy. Is that his name?
That feels a lot like a monster in a Disney movie, but I'm going to say sure. Know.
Anyway, one of the smart guy on Ghostbusters, whatever his name was.
Keep going. I'm going to get there. Keep going.
So he bought me this like figurine. And I remember my little 9-year-old brain was like, wait, my brother just...
Egon.
I was so close. That was called him Igor.
Yeah, yeah.
I think those of
Igor's
us like
the hunchback of Notre Dame, but keep going.
Well, I was a big Notre Dame fan too at the time, so I wanted to combine those two passions. But I remember being like, I can't believe my brother... It was like such a benevolent thing.
Wow.
That he would spend money on this gift for me. That was like, I'll never forget it.
That
and
is
I'm
amazing.
Sure if he's listening right now, he's like, what? I don't even
he's
remember.
Like, I mowed 800 yards to buy that Egon. And he's like, he finally is like smiling in his car right now. Like, he does remember.
I knew he would say remember. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to have to go drum set. Is probably the top of that.
Your
brother gave me that, and when I was 15, it meant the world.
Same year,
like, I don't even know this guy.
You got a $5,000 drum set, and I got a $9. No.
Trust me, my mom and dad were not giving me $5,000 drum sets. That was a big one, Nintendo, and we got this. One of the only times in my life that the Barnes were ahead of the curve was when my parents. Because what happened is, I think they were trying to figure out something to give to us one year, and they asked my aunt and uncle who like were way, like they gave really good gifts to their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they said, oh, we're getting this Nintendo thing. And I think my parents were like, cool. And I'm not kidding, John. I think we were the only family in Kosciuszko that had a Nintendo. And again, the little extrovert Dave, little husky Dave that's extroverted, people just flocked. And I was just like, oh my, can I get you more popcorn? Yes, friends are over. Like, oh my God, y'all got to stand up and get some popcorn. Mom, get some pizza, we're going to leave, you know. So it was like, that was a big one, and we just loved that. We loved that Nintendo. And then I think those were probably like the two. And you know the other dilemma. I don't know if you were like this, and maybe some listeners, y'all can relate to this, but I got really, really, really fiscally attentive in my like high school and college years. So I would just tell mom and dad, don't buy me anything, just give me money. And so the discipline I had to have was I would come out and whatever they had allotted for that year, $100, you know, when we got a little older, maybe a couple $100, that would just be sitting on the chair. And it'd be like, and I would have to just take my lumps and know like, this is gonna be a terrible next 3 hours. Like terrible.
Because you didn't get anything.
Yeah, they literally didn't get me anything. They may have gotten me like a shirt and some, you know, like, but nothing fun.
So
and I would just have
you
to.
You wanted the money just because you're like, you know what? I want to buy my own clothes. I want
to. And I could just make it. When I got to college, dude, I could stretch $300 into 6 months without a problem. I mean, me and Lil Cece's Pizza, I'd walk in like, oh, God, everybody buckle up. Barnes is here. How long are you going to be here today, man? All three? Okay, he's going to be here all three. So everybody, we can't legally make him leave. But if he steps outside, we can lock it. But like, you know, me and Micah and everybody that went to school, like we just, and so I would sit and just like, it was the saddest mornings because Beth's like opening again, Brad's with mom and dad. And I would just be like, Dave, you got to power through. This is discipline. Tomorrow, 6 hours from now, you'll be thrilled you made the decision, but it's going to be a terrible 3 hours.
Right.
And they're like, oh my God, this in stereo. And oh, look, oh my gosh, I got, you know, oh cool, for my car and like a CD player for the, and I, okay, oh, and it was just like, oh my God, so hard. So I, and then
but
that
it was
afternoon,
worth it to you.
The next morning, I was like, look at all this cash. Sweet, sweet bread I got. So that was kind of the weird thing about it.
By the next
I got older.
Morning, you're at the parking lot at CC's. It's like, I know they don't open until the 27th.
I'm in a three-point stance, just staring at the door. And they're like, oh, he's going to run in if we open it. I'm just telling you, get out of the way. He's going to run in. So that was one of my quirks with like gifts as I grew up, as I kind of got to this age. I was like, this is a long play that benefits me, but it's gonna kind of stink.
I remember when I was a kid, my parents, a couple years, they would like, we would get gifts and then they would do like the envelope in the tree kind of thing.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
And you would have like, you know, $100 or yep. $150 or something like that, which was like, you know, if you're 12 years old, $100. That's yeah. so much money. I remember yeah. one year. I this is when I was really into skating, roller skating, like going to this place called the Roller God, Arena.
That just digressed so badly because I was like,
I know.
What kind of board did you have?
I know.
It leaves. They said roller skating.
I know. I could not have been.
I was so
more
not ready for it to go
it.
That way. Oh, jeez Louise.
But I. So I had, I'm going to say, let's say it was $100. It was definitely between $100 and $150. So much money.
That is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money for like, I'm thinking I'm 11 or 12 years old.
Good night.
And in 2, maybe 3 days, it's completely gone because I just
Jeez.
Went to the Roller Arena every day. You know, it's like $10 to get in or whatever. And then like you get soda and you get your dad, you know. And then like 3 days later, it's gone. And I remember getting physically sick because I was like, I can't believe I spent that much money in 3 days. And I got sick.
But your calves looked so good. Like your legs were so toned. That our sidebar, our roller skate. This is a true story. In Kosciuszko, Mississippi, where I grew up, to get to our roller skating arena, you had to go out into the country and take this road that you literally thought, I'm going to start here. Yeah, dueling banjos is around the next corner. That's like you would drive down this dirt road, like, where are we going? And then there was a literal roller skating rink sitting there. Just like you turned it and boom, a roller skate. And you walk in, it was like, you know, it was a roller skating rink. But
awesome.
It was.
Is it still there?
I hope so. God, I hope so.
Can we go and shoot a music video there, please?
Oh, my gosh.
We'll write the song, like, on the way.
It may be owned by a cult at this point. It feels like it might have been
them, better.
Too. Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah.
We can get volunteers.
It's a ministry at this point. Okay, what about like, I'm almost more, I'm going to say worst, but I'm going to be honest with you. I almost want to hear more what's the worst you've given. Because, man, in marriage, there are some doozies. I can go first here if it helps. I gave Annie last year, the year before, we're sitting there. And, you know, we really like giving each other gifts. I mean, I think everybody does. But, you know, it's fun. And so I'm kind of like, oh, yeah, did I do it? You know, because I'm always like, oh, my gosh, did I do it right? That's how I feel the whole time.
Oh, of course.
Well, she opens this one. I think it's like a sweater. And she pulls it up. And she's like, she starts laughing. But not in a, I love this, like a, I don't know how to register this laughter. I'm like, this doesn't make sense.
You're starting to
on
panic.
Christmas morning. I'm like, and she's like, oh. Oh, you gave this to me last year. And I was like, what? She's like, no, you gave this.
She's
you
like,
gave
Dave,
this
I'm wearing
set.
It right now.
Dude, and I just remember it was like, it ruined my whole Christmas morning. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. She's like, oh, it's okay. But just like maybe, you know, mark off those on your Christmas list when you buy them next time so you don't buy them twice in a row, 2 years in a row. And I gave my dad AirPods 2 years in a row too. That was fun.
That's got like if I got AirPods, an extra pair of AirPods, I'd be like, this is a great gift.
You
know, I know I'm
going
to lose
this
first pair.
He laughed. He goes, oh, you gave me these last year. I was like, where are these? Like, I hadn't opened them. They sat in his drawer for a year. That's why I gave them to him. Because I was like, now, and he was like, what did you think? I was like, AirPods, it's going to kill.
He never, and then I was like, never has them.
And then the funniest thing is, he's like, oh, I just don't think I'd. And they were still in the case, in the, like, fully sealed, wrapped up. I was like, Dad. He's like, I'm not going to use them. I was like, try them. I like sat down. He put them in. He was like, oh, these are nice. I was like, jerk. Yeah, they're nice. And then mom was like, well, I'll just have those. And now they walk together and all they have is their little AirPods.
And they don't like, talk anymore.
They don't. They don't, they talk don't know anymore. Each other. That's my fault. Yeah, that's my fault.
The most random.
Oh, don't you have a really good bad one, though? Why do I feel like there's something Amy told us one time we were all laughing
at? Yeah, it was horrible, but I don't remember if it was Christmas. If Amy were here, she would know.
It might have been a birthday.
Yeah, where I like, I mean, this is so embarrassing.
I feel like I remember this. I think I remember this.
I went and got her a bowl, like an aquarium bowl, and then like rocks and like some decorating thing. You know how they have like an abandoned ship or something?
Yeah, yeah.
But it was for like a frog. But I didn't get her a frog. I got her all that stuff and was like, now you can go pick out a frog.
Oh, that is just and she's like, awful.
I don't want a frog. Why would I want a frog? You didn't even get me a frog.
It was
the worst gift.
I'm always really fascinated with gifts that you have to do something to use. Or like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know it's sweet and I think it's, I know people have the best of intentions, but like gifts,
it's a
like,
big swing.
You got a session really to go do this. I'm always like, God bless you. I'm not going to go do that. I know you think I'm going to have a great time doing it, but I'm probably not going to go do this.
Well, and the worst is if somebody gets it for you and you got to go together with them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Because then it's like, well, now you have to do it because they're going to book it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. God, I remember that. I remember the frog bowl. I mean, that is a debacle. That is a debacle.
You know, one thing that I think about around this time of year, and I was just talking with Amy about this the other day, is how, I don't know how you guys do like Santa and stuff like that. Like we do Santa, all that kind of stuff. You know, our days are numbered with that. If anyone's listening with children.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know where that was going.
Just heads up. Starting to talk about Santa. But when I was a kid, I remember
thanks for that
being so, I would believe anything that my parents said.
Wow.
Like I had these little moments where, because I don't think we ever had a fireplace. Like when I was younger.
Oh,
my
gosh.
We never had a fireplace.
How did you deal with that?
Yeah, so I remember asking my parents, and they said something about like the furnace, which my dad was probably just being funny, and I didn't understand his dry sense of humor, but he said, it comes through the pantry because the furnace is on the other side. And I remember opening, as a little kid, like opening the door and like touching the wall of the pantry, and it was kind of warm, and like, it's amazing. How's it get in here?
Just
anything they told me, I was just like, yeah, okay, yeah.
That's
so he goes through the window. Yeah, that makes sense.
Wall.
That checks out.
Yeah, I don't, you know, Santa was a part of ours, but I don't have like any real succinct memories or distinct memories about like that. I know we were excited and we'd leave the, you know, the thing.
Cookies
and Natty Light. But I also remember we had to be kind of disciplined around like, be careful because Brad was so much younger. And it was like, don't spoil it. You know, thankfully, and we're kind of at that season now too with Ben and you know, because he's kind of like, I don't think this is a thing, and the kids are kind of like, well, you know, they're all teetering. It's very precarious,
and I don't want it to be over as a parent. I don't want it to be over for them. It's exciting.
How about the fun game? Well, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, while we're still on Santa, literally the tradition of going someplace. And placing, this is more when they're like super young. Like I posted this picture a couple years ago of Luca and Livy with Santa, you know, we're at like Cheekwood or something like that, Green Hills Mall, whatever. And Livy is terrified. She is like in a full out. I mean, it's basically torture what we do to our little kids.
I know it's
trauma.
Yeah.
Why do we do this?
I I don't know. I mean, I think those terrified pictures are wonderful. So I think some.
I do too. I mean, I posted it. It was hilarious.
Listen, it drove up your followers. It's adorable. Man. You got a lot of clicks.
Because Luca, you know, is a couple years older. She is excited. I mean, she's talking to Santa.
Yeah.
Livy, at the time, she must have been 6 months old, 7 months old, something like that. And she's just terrified. She's like, her mommy just set her on this strange looking stranger's lap.
And then walked off.
And walked away, but still there.
And
but
smiled and took pictures of her pain.
Right.
While you were excited. Oh, click, click.
While we're laughing click, at click. Her.
Yeah, yeah. 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 You know what was, I wonder if you all feel this way. Christmas decorations for me are really tricky because it's like, that's one of those traditions. Like you put the Christmas music on, we start decorating the tree. It's really sweet. Everybody's, and this year was kind of honestly one of those years where it was a little bit of a train wreck. Like,
oh, it's
not
a train
everybody
wreck
was,
most years.
Well, for ours, it's been okay. It's kind of sweet because we have a lot of like sentimental. One of the things we do, I should say this with traditions, is anytime we go on a trip with each other or the kids, we try to find ornaments for the trip because they're like, oh, that's what we did.
That's
and
a good
and
idea.
I mean, we've done that our whole marriage. So it's really fun. And I tell you a pro tip for everybody else out there. With Shutterfly, you can actually get your Christmas cards turned into ornaments. And so it's fun because when you're hanging them, you'll go, oh my gosh, look at that. And you can even retrospectively do it. You know, you don't have to do it, you know, year
of,
obviously.
That's a great tradition.
So that's fun. So for us, it's fun because Annie's really big, and I agree, on the kind of like sentimental ornaments. Like, oh, because, you know, a lot of them look terrible. I mean, they look like, you know, they're just, you know, glue is still, it's awful, but it's really sweet. So usually it's kind of fun because the kids will come back, oh, I did this one in that year. Oh, look at Sammy's. And this year was just like, they were like, so uninterested. And I remember Annie and I were, it was like a sitcom. Like, we were both just so mad. We're like, get the, don't put that there. It dropped. It's one broke. And Annie was just like, that was one of the most special ones. Everybody's like, I'm sorry. And it's like, no, we're having fun. We're going to have fun. You know,
see, that is how the tree has gone almost every year for us until this year and last year.
Yeah.
And here's, it's kind of a bummer why it's going so well. And the reason is we have a fake tree.
Oh, you have a tree?
We had this fake tree. We bought it a couple years ago because, and this is, it's all because of the touring schedule. Like, we had to put,
we
had to get our real tree super early because I was going to be gone for a while. Yeah. So we put the tree up, and then like 3 weeks later, 2 weeks later, it's dead.
Yeah.
And we got to get, because it's like, this is going to.
Every time you touch it, the needles fall off.
The needle, yes, literally, like, it falls off. And if a spark hits this thing, it's going up in flames in no time. And so I just went out and I bought this big fake tree that's the kind where, like, you can put it together in 10 seconds and it's already pre-lit.
Yep.
Because the lights are what get me all, like, ah, you know, I start to get irritated. Yep. And then it just starts to fall apart with this fake tree, which is a bummer because I don't want to have a fake tree, really. I want the real tree. I want the tradition of, like, putting it on the car, all that kind of stuff. Man, it's so much easier.
Can I tell you a pro tip? And listen, this is a free ad. We are not being paid by this company. John doesn't even know what I'm about to say.
I don't.
I found a tree stand that is the most, it's one of my favorite things I've ever bought. Like, I'm not kidding. It is like, for a dad, it is the congruence of a million things I love being turned into an object. It's called the Krinner, K-R-I-N-N-E-R, tree stand. And it's this genius contraption that they have, like, imagine teeth. So it's like it looks kind of like a
like
base.
Like a bear trap?
You know, do you know what I'm talking about? You've seen mine. Yeah, I've showed you mine, right? Yeah, I think you come over every now and then and help me chuck it out the back door, which is a whole other fun game. But basically, it does look like a bear trap. So imagine like a base, but it's got a hole in it, and then it's got these teeth that kind of come out of the thing. But the teeth are joined by a wire through each tooth. So when you drop the tree stand in, you crank this little thing, and the teeth come in.
I do remember that. Yeah,
and
adjust
according to where the tree is, because they're just joined by a wire, so they aren't all. They don't all have to be in the same position to hold the tree, and it's got a spike at the bottom, and so it has a water level thing. So as you pour, this thing kind of slowly comes and said, "All right, you're dude." It has changed. I'm not listen to me. I'm not lying to you, and I'm telling you, it has changed my life because I can just hold the tree, drop it in there. I crank this thing, and it just kind of, you know, adjust the teeth, adjust to whatever angle, and it just holds it.
We need to get that. What's the name of the company again?
Krenner, K-R-I-N-N-E-R. It is thebomb.com. This
Krenner,
thing is
can
what.
We, can we work together? Can we sponsor?
If you're listening,
we're going to sell some of these tree stands.
We're going to try. And they're not cheap. But the small one is $80. But they are, I mean, every time I grab it, I'm like, oh, I just want to hug it. I'm like, this is just, you make my life so much better. But so, ours is, we always do real. We had another, I mean, this year was just a weird year. I think the kids are getting older. It's a little trickier to sort of navigate. But, you know, we went to Home Depot. I know everybody's like rolling their eyes right now. Went to Home Depot to get a tree. And it's just like Annie and I are the only ones that care. And we're trying to like, look at this one. And it's like, and you had to do that suit, like the Thor bash where you like the Thor stomp, where you stomp it and the Gandalf thing and all the, you know, the branches come down so you can sort of see what it looks like. And the kids, well, I don't know where the kids are. I said, I don't know, Dave. Turn around. Is the back looks terrible. Me or the tree, of course. I don't know. I don't like these pants. You know, it's that kind of thing. Right. And so, you know, we can't find the kids. We're trying to make it this sweet moment, and they just couldn't. They're hungry. They want to eat, you know. It's, you know, just like, oh, my God. So I do feel like those things, I know we've laughed about this with hosting parties too, like that kind of pressure. Because, like, you know, we've talked about sort of the Christmas pressure, you know, like as you were saying, sort of about
the clock
traditions. We talk about picking out a tree. I think about the Christmas parties and how, like, when y'all come over here, it is like, they're supposed to be this really joyous occasions. Like, we're mad at each other. I got to get in the shower. Well, Dave, you should have showered 20. You know, I thought you said 6:30. Like, hey, guys.
So, you know, wait, Christmas so on that front, can we talk about the pre-hosting? What's happening there? Like, the hour before? Because with Amy and I, the classic scenario would be like, if we're hosting this Christmas party.
Yeah.
An hour before, we both have the same goal. We want the house to look great. We want everybody to have a good time. Right?
But you've waited until when?
Yeah, you know,
what,
the
like
hour
the,
before.
Like, the hour.
Because there's like, you know, throughout the day, Amy's doing stuff, and I'm like, babe, don't, like, the floor's going to get dirty again. Yeah. I'll sweep it right before people get here.
Yeah.
But an hour before, I'm like,
oh,
my mind is like, let's get outside. I want the yard to look good.
Yeah.
I'm going to rake some of these leaves. I'm mowing the lawn, and Amy comes out to the porch like, what are you doing? The party's not in the front yard. The party's in the house. But I'm like, I'm always concerned with, like, let's make sure, like, the yard that they have to walk through to get to the house, I want it to be looking good. Amy is like, I could care less about the yard. They're going to spend 2 seconds.
Oh my God. I'm exactly the same. Yeah. I'm exactly the same. I'm like, the priority is blowing all of the leaves off the sidewalk in the front yard into the. I can't have leaves in the front yard. She's like, Dave, we don't even have the food ready. I'm like, food doesn't matter. This is the first thing they see.
If these leaves are in the front yard, they're not going to care how good or bad the food is.
I'm like running around lighting candles upstairs. She's like, nobody goes upstairs. I'm like, it can waft down. Like, it's everywhere has got to smell right. I mean, yeah, I agree.
Boy, and I have, you know, I've got my list of things that I want to get done. Amy has her list of things that she wants to get done. I'm more so like, all right, I'm like tunnel vision, head down. I'm going to knock out all my things. Amy, if I pass through the room where Amy is, Amy's like, hey, can you do? And I'm like, no. You have your list.
No.
I have my list.
Can you come grab the leaves? I've got them in a pile. Can you get the leaves? I don't care about the charcuterie board. I don't care about how many cheeses we have. Could you come grab the leaves? Okay. Yeah, that's always a dilemma of ours. Okay, so I think as we're kind of rounding this thing out, I kind of want to play a little bit of a, I want to set the people up to have the most optimum Christmas experience they can have. And
absolutely,
one of the things I want to ask you that I think we can sort of set them up to win is a couple of categories here, okay? Because some people are sitting out there and they're going, Dave, I want to know what Christmas albums you guys like. You know, like this is what we do. Like, what are the ones we're running low on Christmas? People actually genuinely ask me this a lot. I'm running low on Christmas music. What is the Christmas music? Give me 5 records. You can name as many as you want, but give me 5. Like, can you give me 5?
So probably my favorite is Harry for the holidays. Harry Connick Jr.
Yep.
He has a couple Christmas records, which all of them are great.
They're all amazing. Yeah. Yes.
Harry for the holidays and his version, he does a piano solo on I'll Be Home for Christmas that is perhaps the greatest piano solo of all time.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's very, very, very chill. But man, it is good.
Yep.
I feel like this is like saying, you know, Michael Jordan's your favorite basketball player, but like Michael Bublé, that record.
It's amazing.
It's just undeniably amazing.
Yep.
I mean, I love that one.
Yep.
The Amy Grant's
Yep.
What is it called? It's the one where she's in red.
Oh, hold on.
This is Amy's favorite. My Amy's favorite. So that's like a part of our playlist all the time.
Dadgummit. Hold on. Keep talking. I'll find it.
It's not the Tennessee. There's one where she's like in a sweater. It's Tender Tennessee.
It's not the
Christmas.
One where she's on. Hold on. I got you, boo. Oh, a Christmas album. Is it the one where she's out in like Veil?
Yeah.
Like standing out with her like she
no,
looks.
No. It's not that one.
Is it the one where she's leaning on the tree?
No.
Okay.
Or maybe it is. Lying. Let's say it is. Sure.
Is it the one with the Breath of Heaven on it?
It's the one with Amy Grant on the cover.
Oh yeah. Okay. No, that's a very Amy Christmas. No. There's a Christmas album, which is the one that has like the real like that. This has Tennessee Christmas on it, and then the older one, which she made, I don't know, maybe like 15 years after that, 10 years after that, has the Breath of Heaven on it and Grown Up Christmas list. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, these like we hadn't listened to these yet this year, and I can't wait to listen to these. You just little fire, a little Christmas fire. Okay, what else? You got other ones?
Man, this is tough. Because
it is hard.
So then we get into the category of like, there's all that like Ella Fitzgerald, Louis Armstrong, Sinatra, like all of that stuff.
Yep.
I'm bad at the actual albums of those. I just know the individual songs, you know what I mean? There's some of those like classic songs that I have on a playlist.
Yep.
So
okay, I'm gonna go because I think I know mine. Are you ready?
Do it.
My all-time favorite, and this, folks, buckle up, buckle the heck up, because I'm coming in real hot with this one. Okay, Russ Taff. I think it's called A Christmas Song. Is that what
Russ
it's called?
Russ Taff.
Russ Taff. Now this is A Christmas Song. I
you
got
know what?
This record.
One of my very first trips to Nashville, I saw Russ Taff at a Starbucks.
No
and
way.
I was like, I can't.
That's the RT. That's the
His
RT
hair
himself.
Looks so good.
Yeah. Ooh.
Sorry.
I got that record in college. I think it was I don't know if somebody told me or it was like out and I just randomly. It is consistently, I think, my favorite. And it's got some sentimental value too. But
right. It's
called A Christmas Song. And I'm going to tell you a couple things about that record. The best guitar playing I may have ever heard on a Christmas record. It is stunning how good the players, it's very croonery. So it's not, you're going to hear that and think, oh, he was like Gaither Vocal Band Christmas. It is not. It is Frank Sinatra. And they just absolutely slay it. Russ sings like a smoking angel, like an angel who smoked all his life. It's like the most glorious,
smoky,
tobacco-y.
Yeah.
But it's an incredible album. I agree with you on Amy Grant's Christmas album. Any of the Harry Connick ones, probably my favorite is When My Heart Finds Christmas because it has I Pray on Christmas, which is in my top 10 of all time Christmas songs. I think another one for me is probably, the Christmas album by Michael Bublé, which is just called Christmas. That album is
just
flawless.
So good.
Let me see if there's what I'm... Oh, Vince Guaraldi, the Charlie Brown Christmas.
Yeah.
That's a huge one. And I'll tell you what, man, our friends have made good Christmas records. Wurtz's Snow Globe is amazing. I think your Christmas EPs are amazing. I just name a friend of ours, and I think anybody that's kind of put out a Christmas album, I've been so impressed with our friends. Like Brandon Heath's got a great one. I mean, it's called Christmas Here. I mean, they're just really good. Like people have great, he's got a song on there called Mama Wouldn't Lie to Me that is like, one of Andy Gullihorn and him and I think maybe Shive wrote, Ben Shive.
Yeah.
But I mean, just, you know, a lot of great stuff. I have, for those who are interested, I mean, this is a little bit of a plug, so forgive me and entertain me here for a second. But I just put out a playlist this year called Christmas Essentials-Dave Barnes because I have this playlist, and this is a weird self-plug, but I have this playlist that I've listened to forever that I've just slowly over time accrued all the songs I love on Spotify. And it's so people ask me all the time, what do you listen to? And I literally just put, I finally put it up this year. We of course added my songs because we're trying to make that cash. These kids got to go to school.
I Wish It Would Snow on there?
It is. Yeah, it's the first one on there. You got some songs on there.
That rocketed right to the top for me.
Oh, you stop.
You just
stop
put
it.
That song out. Yeah, I mean, people are loving that song.
Yeah, thank you.
It's a
but
great
there's
song.
There's your songs on there. I mean, it's a great. I'm really proud of this list because it's been like 5 years of me just throwing all mm-hmm. these songs. Up. I'll tell you in my last thought with Christmas albums, you know what is a great record? A great record. And I DM'd him the other day about this, and we were kind of I was giving him props. Hold on, I'm gonna make sure I get the name of the record right before I like everybody's googling it and they can't find it. Okay, the name of the record, yeah, Christmas with PJ Morton. That's what I thought it was. So it's PJ Morton, who who's out of New Orleans. He's in Maroon 5, but he's been an artist way before and has since won Grammys on his own. It is such a good record. It's called Christmas with PJ Morton, with PJ Morton, and it is like. It's like a R&B jazzy version of all these songs, but he just sticks the landing.
Yeah.
It's a great record. So that's a really good one too. So those are probably mine. What about, all right, now, before we send them into their festivities, we got to talk movies, John.
Yeah,
what are the Christmas movies? For anybody who's out there really struggling with movies, you got any sleeper hits? What are the essentials? You know, what are the things that people got to hear?
Here are the essentials are they're leaning guilty pleasure, but it's fine. I'm fine with it. All right?
Yeah. Yep.
Every year, Amy and I watch Love Actually.
Yep. Love that.
And every year, we watch The Holiday. And a couple years ago, we started watching White Christmas.
Okay.
Like old school White Christmas.
Yep.
And then the other day, the girls and I watched Home Alone. That's becoming a tradition.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great one. Yep. That's a great one.
What about you?
You know, the sleeper for me, and I keep saying this, in the interview, is Just Friends with Ryan Reynolds. That movie makes me laugh till I bleed. It is, it's the one for all, it's an old one. It's like one of his first movies, but it's the one where he's in like he's singing I Swear, remember Into the Brush?
Because
he's in
love with the girl.
Oh, John. It is so funny. Annie and I love that one. Scrooged is a must for me.
Oh my gosh. Bill Murray,
The Family Stone, John.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Family Man. Oh my gosh, Family Man. One of my probably top 20 movies of all time, just that movie. Have you ever seen it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that the Nicolas Cage one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that movie.
That's a great movie.
I'm realizing how much stuff I need to watch between. This is what I mean by like my traditions. Like there's movies I kind of feel like I have to watch every year.
I totally forgot about Scrooge. We had Scrooge when I was growing up, VHS, and I would wear that thing out.
Oh, it's the best. One of the best moments in any movie of all time is when he turns and starts talking to the camera during the credits. Like, get out of here. Why are you still in this theater? Get out of here. We're done singing this song. I love that. let me think of anything else we always watch. I mean, the Home Alones. We're about to do the inaugural first time my kids have seen Home Alone 2. Annie watched Home Alone 1 when I was on tour last weekend. I thought I was going to...
I mean, when I hear the music on Home Alone 1... Yeah. It is so good.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, you got the right key, whatever. Yeah, those are mine. So, folks, what we hope at the end of this, as we're coming to our end, is that you've not just been amused, but now you've been equipped. And you're thinking, I got some albums to listen to. I got some records to listen to. And let me tell you, You got a treat. Can I just finish with this, John? And it needs to be said. We also have Christmas music here now. We have a lot of Christmas music.
We sure do.
And so if someone's really going, I don't know.
We've got some great Christmas music.
Hey, that's coming from the man himself right there. Same to you. So if you guys really need to round out your festivities with some fun music, me and old Johnny Mac got some music we'd love to let you entertain to. Yeah, it's there.
It's there.
As you're out mowing your yard and your wife is yelling at you to help with the charcuterie tray.
I can't hear you. Jingle bells.
I'm sorry.
Dave Barnes, sorry.
I'm listening to Dadville. But thank you guys for listening once again this year, and I hope everybody out there has a wonderfully, wonderfully Merry Christmas. It's so fun getting to do this, and it's fun y'all hanging.
Love it.
Hope everybody has a wonderful end of the year and a Merry Christmas.
Dadville.